Presentation, what are they doing?
House Transportation will come to order. Welcome, everybody. We'll go ahead and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 536. Patrick?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 536 prohibits state agencies from expending funds to implement the Federal Real ID Act of 2005 unless sufficient funds from the federal government are allocated to cover the estimated cost. It requires the Department of Transportation to analyze and report on the cost of implementing the Real ID Act, and requires the department to provide reasonably secure measures to protect individual privacy and to prevent unauthorized disclosure before issuing Real ID compliant identification. The measure prohibits participation in multi-state or federal shared databases unless sufficient security measures are to prevent unauthorized disclosures are established. This measure had a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact when it came over from the Senate.
Thank you. With that, Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. Thank you for the opportunity to comment briefly on Senate Bill 536 on behalf of the committee. And I know you're anxious for me to get over to my own transportation committee so I can continue passing your bills. But the Federal Real ID Act was signed by President Bush on May 11, 2005. It created national standards, as we all know, for driver's license and ID cards. States are not required to comply with the federal law. There is no monetary penalty for states that do not comply, but residents of states have been given various deadlines. As we go through this issue, and as you have dealt with this issue, we have dealt with, in this state, on a state basis, some of the most pressing issues that were of concern to our citizenry. But the Real ID Act, that is left, involves serious privacy concerns, have not been addressed for the security of our citizens. And we believe, and the Senate voted unanimously, that until those privacy concerns are addressed, until the financial things are addressed, that going beyond what we have already done as a state to, and very well, to make a secure driver's license, that this would be the appropriate action. And that is the summary of our committee's report. Came out of our committee unanimously and on the Senate floor unanimously.
Any questions? Seeing none, Senator Metzger would like to also testify on Senate Bill 580, so I'm going to close the public hearing and go to 580, and then we'll come back to this one. So with that, I close the public hearing on 536 and open the public hearing on 580.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. Senate Bill 580 comes from your Committee on Transportation. You'll hear more details about this. It's very simple. It's permissive language. It allows the Department of Transportation to enter into any agreements that are made with joint partners regarding the Columbia River Crossing Project. And those partners are many local governments as well as the state of Washington, et cetera. You may recall that in 2007, we passed enabling legislation for tolling on a proposed Columbia Crossing Bridge. In the last 2 years, there's been additional discussions about other possibilities, like should we possibly toll the existing bridge to create money in advance for the new bridge? What about tolling 205? Does that make sense? Well, those policy decisions have not been decided. But the legislation that we passed did not go that far. It was only talking about tolling a new structure. So what this bill does is allow our department to continue to be negotiating with all the other parties regarding that project and completes the loop that we thought we tied in 2007, but allows them to be able to have those same negotiations on agreements should any of those type of agreements be proposed.
Questions? Representative Schaffler, Bailey.
More of a comment, Madam Chair. You've heard me speak to this project a lot this year and my desires, and there's a lot of ducks that need to get in a row for this project, and I think the sooner we get them in a row, the better it is. The time we'll have capturing federal dollars, getting everybody in line, and getting the good men and women out there building America on this project. So I would like to move this as soon as possible, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Schaffler. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, more of a comment, and I think, Madam Chair, you're going to see a trend. This is one of the many times you're going to see the good representative from Happy Valley and I just exactly on the same page. I think this is a good bill, Senator. I think it allows us flexibility in looking at a number of different ways and options for addressing our transportation future, and allows for a wide range of options to be considered, and I think it's a good bill, and thank you for bringing it forward and doing hard work on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no
other... We'll go back to work on your bills. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 580, go back to Senate Bill 536, and open a public hearing. And I don't need to go back to Patrick. So, Andrea Meyer.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon, here in support of Senate Bill 536, a bill that we brought forward this session. I'm providing written testimony. I promise I'm not going to read my testimony, but I do want to cover a few highlights. And I first want to thank a number of you, our co-sponsors of this bill, including both the chair and the vice chair, and I appreciate your long-standing support of this issue. You've already heard that Senate Bill basically has Oregon joined the list of states. Indeed, it's now, we would be the 13th state to say no to Real ID, which, as you've heard, raises significant privacy and cost issues to us. And as the as Mr. Brennan has described, the bill prohibits us moving forward unless there are sufficient federal funds and privacy protections in place. So, yes, Congress did pass this in 2005. It was connected to tsunami relief and Iraqi war funding. It had no debate or discussion. And, indeed, it was done over the objection of the National Governors Association and the National Conference of State Legislators. And, unfortunately, it preempted actually work that was being done to address some security issues around our driver's license called the Intelligence Reform and Terrorist Prevention Act of December 2004 that was implementing some of the 9/11 commission recommendations. And it didn't create a national ID or a massive database or cost millions of dollars, and it had a full range of stakeholders, indeed, including the ACLU nationally. It does federalize our state driver's licenses and default to a national ID. The requirements include standardizing data elements and security features. And one of the significant issues left that we would have to do would be to electronically scan and store every identity document that you present for your license. So right now when you go to DMV, you know under new law, you need to present your birth certificate or a passport, a document that contains your Social Security number, proof of your residence. Right now what DMV does is they verify that these documents are authentic and hand them back to you. Under Real ID, instead, they would have to scan and store and create a and participate in a 50-state shared database, creating significant exposure to all of us. There's been no construction of this 50-state shared database and no money from the federal government. And the other piece it requires is the states to verify the issuance, validity, and completeness of every document presented, which raises concerns if your documents include your electric bill or other private sector documents. And passports, or excuse me, birth certificates aren't just the number of states. There's counties, they're old, there's many. So the current status is I would have, as of Thursday, said that there were 11 states that had said no, but Minnesota has now joined on Friday, the governor signed. So we would be joining a broad range of bipartisan states, Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, Maine, Montana, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Washington. Those states have passed laws saying we're not doing Real ID, and another 10 have urged repeal. And for the record, they are Arkansas, Hawaii, Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Tennessee. And you've heard that the failure to comply simply means that there would be potentially no airline travel unless a person had a passport. But there has been a nationwide revolt. It is bipartisan. The governor of South Carolina, Mark Stanford, spoke strongly against it. So did the governor of Montana, Brian Schweitzer. And they've said they won't comply. And indeed, when the DHS rules finally became final, no state could comply under the timeline. So they said to states, "You, if you're moving forward, you can request an extension. And therefore, at May 2008, you will not have had to comply." Well, some states, including Oregon, requested an extension. There was a great deal of work 2 years ago, the need to pass laws. But other states said, "No, we're not requesting an extension. We're not doing Real ID." Funnily enough, the federal government managed to give them an extension without their asking. And even though there are states that have taken no steps forward, which would be in violation of the federal act right now, as you've heard, no one is being barred from getting on an airplane. So it's been delayed. 2014 is the date that we're supposed to have an ID under Real ID, and those who are over age 50, it's 2017. We hope Congress is underway to modify or repeal those provisions of the Real ID Act. We know that the new head of the Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, signed the Arizona law, and we know Congress is looking at it, and they certainly made a statement when they have not funded it. I will not go into the cost issues, basically to say that it continues to evolve and move and ever change and be unclear. It is fuzzy math, but it's billions of dollars. And, you know, Oregon's math is also has to be fuzzy because we don't know. I think Senator Metzger said 2 years ago when we were talking about this, it's analogous to remodeling your house. You start with one number, but the further you get into it, the more money it costs. So it is a hidden tax that would be, or maybe less so hidden, eventually passed on to consumers. So briefly, as I've mentioned, there is a significant risk of identity theft, and there are breaches, as you know, a day in this country regarding databases. And DMVs have been targeted across the country. And indeed, although a low-tech theft, our own Oregon DMV was targeted in the fall when the UPS truck in Grants Pass was broken into, and it contained DMV driver license applications forms from applicants in that area. And DMV did notify customers because the theft included, in some cases, their address, driver's license, and social security number. So if we imagine that being a database and linked and breached, that would be a nightmare for all. We need to... I've mentioned the fact that there's the verification and the other aspects that would cost money and still create significant risk. And we don't believe that national ID will improve any security. The documents themselves are not the problem. It's the evil intent. And those who want to get around it can obtain fraudulent documents. What we need to do is good old-fashioned but important intelligence and law enforcement work. So we hope that Oregon will become the 13th state now to say no to Real ID. I do want to go on the record to make clear, as I did on the Senate side, the intention of this law is to prohibit our moving further forward. But let me be clear that any law that we have passed previously, be it contained in Senate Bill 1080 or Senate Bill 640 a few years ago or any other current state law on the Oregon books, is not affected. This law does not repeal any Oregon statutes and the obligation that the state government has to further implement state laws that we have already passed. We hope Oregon will join the movement and join the Senate and say no to Real ID this session, and I appreciate your time and would be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Boone.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Andrea, do you remember the vote count in the Senate?
Chair Beyer, Representative Boone, on Senate Bill 536?
536, yeah.
Do. 30-0.
30-0. Thank you.
Reference.
Not one of them, despite it being an ACLU.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The most important thing is the unfunded mandate portion of this, and you've laid it out very nicely here in your testimony. It's going to cost $9.9, $10 billion. It's the federal government's idea. They're going to pay a whopping $0.2 billion. Nothing.
Thank you. Representative Schaffler.
No point in having a Real ID if your borders are porous for everybody and their dog to just march right over. The problem is closing off our borders to people that do not have legal documentation and allow it to be porous for travel, commerce, study, all the good things that communities exchange with one another. And the federal government, they ain't spending any money on this, and they ain't spending enough money on that. That's a problem. And that comes from a great-grandson of an illegal immigrant, I might add, who came here undocumented, stowed away on a boat from Ireland. So I don't want anyone reading anything into this. But as long as we have porous borders where people can willy-nilly, I don't care, north or south, come in and out as they please, this is all a waste of time. But I'm not against a national ID because I have one. It's called my passport.
Chair Beyer, Representative Schaffler, I agree. And the thing about Real ID I want to make clear, and the pieces left in Oregon across this country, are privacy issues. We are talking about the safety and security of the Oregonians, and as Representative Gilman pointed out, the significant costs to create databases that will also be porous and subject to breach and huge problems. You know, the Senate Bill 640 a number of years ago, the biometric facial recognition software, and the, where you issuance is done by a centralized issuance, that is the word, rather than the old days, which those of us who have been around a long time used to go to DMV and turn in our documents and have them reviewed and get our driver's license and walk away. Centralized issuance was because it gave DMV an opportunity to check and determine that there weren't a bunch of licenses with your face on it or a bunch of licenses going to your address. And those were steps to move forward with identity theft issues, and this, of course, would take us quite backwards in doing the efforts that are important in Oregon to protect against identity theft as well.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, so appreciate
thank you
testimony. And with that, Tom McClellan.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom McClellan. I'm the DMV Administrator, Department of Transportation. You have my written materials there. What I'd like to turn to is right to the second page. You've received a good overview of the Real ID Act in this bill. And just to, I guess, reiterate a point that the previous speaker also made, is that this bill could be construed to prohibit any activities that directly or indirectly relate to compliance with the Federal Real ID Act. However, the department does not believe it's your intent that those activities that are currently authorized should stop. And those are things that were part of the February 2008 session. Other authority we may have to improve the security and the processes around driver license issuance. We would still want to still have your support to do those types of changes, even if they may even tangentially or secondarily move us toward compliance. That may not be the intent of that change that we're trying to make. So we believe that's your intent. It's just nothing new. Connecting up to national databases and that type of thing. And I'm giving you a few of the examples here as well of things that may be within our existing statutory authority that we think would still be allowable. If we were to try to comply with the Federal Real ID Act, we would need the federal funding and the privacy assurances and those types of things. If Oregon does not meet material compliance, you understand that the cards may not be accepted as of January 1st of this next year. If an Oregon would not comply. I think you understand that. There's some language in Senate Bill 536, words like sufficient and unreasonable. Those are interpretive types of words. We're assuming that you're leaving that up to the department to determine that there are sufficient safeguards in place and that unreasonable fees are not charged. There's no other entity identified in that bill, so we would just assume that you're expecting us to use our judgment in those areas. The Section 3 of the bill requires a cost analysis report to be available to the public. We may provide that report to you through the standard reporting to the legislature, which is ORS 192-245, just a standard report, so the legislature has access to that. So just a few considerations around the bill.
All right. Any questions for Tom? Not seeing any questions. I just also want to put it on the record that our intent is not to, as it's been previously stated, to infringe on anything that the department is already doing statutorily, and making sure, because I think that our efforts in the past have taken us huge steps ahead in protecting the citizens of the state of Oregon and the United States. So I don't want to see anything that would infringe on that. Given those reassurances, I'm comfortable with that. I also want to remind the committee that there is some risk in doing this, and not necessarily for safety and security. It's more the public. If we do this, and they go to get on a plane and find out they can't do it, you'll get a call wanting to know what's going on. I'm not sure it's that big of a risk at this point in time, but it's something to keep in the back of your mind as we move forward with this. But I also think it's important that we either tell the department to go ahead and do this work and comply, or we tell them not to expend any more dollars and staff time doing it. I think it's not fair to leave the department in limbo about what our needs and interests are. So given that, there is my statement, and thank you for coming. And I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 536. Representative Call.
Yes, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 536 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Call has moved Senate Bill 536 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Representative Bent?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative
Schaffler?
Aye.
Representative Widener? Representative Gilman?
Aye, and I will take the call, Madam Chair.
Good first.
Representative Call?
Aye.
Chair Beyer?
Aye. And let the record show that Representative Widener is excused today. And with that, Senate Bill 536 passes. And Representative Call, would you like to carry this bill?
Sure.
And I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 536 and opening up. Wait, before I go to that, if there's anybody sitting out there that's here because of Senate Bill 129, I am not working 129 today. I'm going to carry that bill over until Wednesday. So just in case you think that you have other things you could do, I wanted to make that announcement and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 580. And Patrick, yes.
Members, Senate Bill 580, which you heard Senator Metzger talk about a few minutes ago, is a measure that directs the Department of Transportation to collaborate with other governmental entities to implement tolling on the I-5 and 205 bridges that cross the Columbia River. The measure directs the department to develop a rate structure that allows for congestion price indexing and to submit the rate structure to the Oregon Transportation Commission by January 1st, 2011.
Thank you. And did I make you do that twice?
No.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if I had you do it before.
I was eager to do it. That's why.
Oh, okay. With that, I'm going to call Kevin Jensen forward.
Excuse me. For the record, my name is Kevin Jensen. I'm the business manager for the iron workers in Portland, Oregon. And Madam Chair and members of the committee, on behalf of the iron workers in the state, I thank you for hearing Senate Bill 580, and I encourage you to take action by moving it to the House floor and passing it into law. I'm not going to expand any more on what Senator Metzger already testified to. I believe he did an excellent job on it and a good job of explaining exactly where we want to go to move this forward to ensure that there's no roadblocks to the building of the Columbia River crossing, which will create a huge number of jobs in this state and put our people back to work. We're currently experiencing 15% unemployment. We've got 80 apprentices out of work, and each of them are eager to see this type of law move forward so that we can build this project. And again, I just like to encourage you to pass this on to the House floor and make it into law so that we can move forward and make this project a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I didn't see that the bill specifically stated a project, so I'm wondering which project these funds are going to go to fund.
Do you?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Phillips. I represent the District Council of Iron Workers as well as the Oregon State Building and Construction Trades Council. Madam Chair and Representative Call, if you look at the bill, we talk about across the Columbia River, the exchanges of I-5 and Interstate 205. And so the description is really focused on Columbia River crossing and moving forward in that. And this is strictly a permissive bill, so it's part of collaboration. If you want me to cover my testimony, I can, or answer Representative Call's follow-up question if he has one.
I can wait till after you're done with the testimony.
Okay. I will be brief, Madam Chair. Again, Paul Phillips on behalf of the Oregon State Building and Construction Trades Council. We strongly endorse this bill. It is permissive. We would have liked something a little stronger, but we work through the process, and this is what goes out. In March, the ODOT spokesman said this was a necessary first step, this process. It's actually a necessary second step. The state of Washington, through ESSB 5352, passed a bill this last session calling for a study. That study looks at a number of things that will be reported back to the Washington legislature in 2010. If you notice, the implementation and recommendation of this bill is 2011. So the first step will be that collaborative joint study that includes the ODOT director as well as Washington State to look at a number of things with regard to a whole variety of issues, including tolling. And then moving forward, this would give a way to set up a rate structure if we indeed thought one could go forward with a variety of other things. So that's why it's permissive. It's a good second step now that Washington has acted on passing their bill on May 4th. So we'd encourage you to move this to the floor, go to work session and move it to the floor, and be glad to answer any questions, Madam Chair.
Representative Cole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll try not to belabor the point too much, but to me, the way this bill is written doesn't say anything about the Columbia River crossing. And it seems to me that while there may be disagreement about the Columbia River crossing, all sides can agree that tolling can be beneficial. And so to one reading of this bill, we might be able to put tolls in place that would alleviate congestion and might show that the need that's been out there, stated need that's been out there in the media for such a long time that this project needs to happen might be proved false by allowing tolling to come online. So if I was to support this bill, one of the reasons I would support this is because it allows us to start talking about tolling as a separate and distinct necessity from the Columbia River crossing. Is this how you read this bill as well? Or is your reading of this some intent that's maybe not here, that what we're talking about here is a necessary first step to raise tolling, to raise funds through a toll to build the Columbia River crossing?
Madam Chair, Representative, if you'll note, when Senate Bill 580 was first drafted, we put in specific language about the Columbia River crossing that was there. When the amendments to make this bill more permissive moved through the Senate, it was talked about as a collaborative process in tolling. One could make the leap or conclusions that you've drawn by removing it. However, I will tell you, in legislative record, and I've been around this building for a while, all the discussion about this is about the Columbia River crossing, and I believe ODOT is aware of that and have testified about the crossing. It's been discussed at length with in Washington, as well as the project sponsors process. So I believe that what you're going to get in 2011, if this bill goes to work session and passes the floor, is really a focus on the Columbia crossing as it's directed right now.
And Madam Chair, is ODOT going to be speaking to this bill and the implied intention that's there, so that we can know for sure whether the Columbia River crossing is the ultimate goal of this legislation?
ODOT has not signed up, but they are in the room, and we can have them come forward. And
thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Right,
thank you.
John Charles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John Charles, Cascade Policy Institute, here to support this bill. Since it seems to have some momentum, I'll just be very short, get out of the way. I have a couple reasons for supporting it. One is it allows people to vote with their dollars to get the service they want. A toll is a user fee. It's not a tax. It's something that's necessary to provide the services that we all need. I think if we're going to expand the road system, this is the way to do it. The bill also mentions congestion indexing, which is by itself a not really a term of art, but I think it implies variable pricing. I support variable pricing. It's really the only way to solve congestion problems on the bridge. And if you do that, then if you have three lanes of the existing bridge or three lanes of a new bridge, whatever it is, and they're all moving at road speed, then you also have, by definition, three or four lanes of a high-speed transitway that can be used by jitneys, taxis, shuttles, or any other form of transit that gets to go really fast, and they don't even pay for it. It's paid for by all the other users. It's the cheapest transit around there. So I think the general policy direction of this bill is a good idea, and I support it. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Schaffler.
I don't know who's talking about three lanes, but it ain't me. I'm talking about six lanes going one way and six lanes going the other way. I just want to get that clear on the record.
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, I'm just saying that if you were to...
Yeah, I heard what you're saying. You don't need to clarify anything. Clarify. It's six lanes going one way and six lanes going the other way.
Any other questions? thank you. Appreciate your coming.
Sure.
And Amy, you want to answer questions or interpret for ODOT?
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. To attempt to address Representative Call's question, I think nothing in the bill language specifically limits it to Columbia River Crossing, but I would note that I think the understanding going all along through this bill was that's what we were talking about. I would note the relating clause says relating to Columbia River Crossing project, and the fiscal we submitted, which I think ended up being a minimal, was based on an understanding that we're talking about the look we're doing at Columbia River Crossing.
Well, I guess I should put it out there that I it'll probably be no surprise that I'm an opponent of the Columbia River Crossing and as such, if we do work this bill today, I will be a no.
Thank you. I have a question. It was mentioned that Washington is in the process of doing a study, and I'm curious from ODOT's point of view how their study or what they're doing matches with this particular bill.
Chair Beyer, I would need to get back to you on whatever it is that Washington is doing. I mean, all of the involved parties are part of the Project Sponsors Council, so the two states, the cities, counties, metro, transit, everybody's involved together. But in terms of any specific study that was mentioned, I could get back to you on what's happening with that and how that meshes with 580.
Okay, and if you get that information to Patrick, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly, Chair Beyer.
And given that this bill was significantly changed from its original form to this, can you tell me the concerns with the original form and how, I guess, the impact of this language?
Chair Beyer, as I understand it, by the time this bill got a hearing on the Senate side, the original bill language wasn't really under consideration, so I don't know that I could even address that. In terms of the engrossed version of 580, I believe Director Garrett on the Senate side mentioned some concern about imposing a hard date of January 1, 2011, that imposes a hard date that folks can strive toward. But sometimes hard dates are difficult to meet.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. And with that, I am going to go ahead and close the public hearing on this one, and I'm not ready to work it today, but I probably will be rescheduling this for a time in the very near future. And given that, I'm going to close the public hearing. And committee, we are adjourned. And I've said adjourned, but... Yes. And if you have not heard, committee, there is a new committee that has been appointed to deal with the transportation package. It is a joint House-Senate Transportation Committee, of which you will all be a member of, and all the Senate Transportation Committee will be a member of. We're going to try to set up a schedule for Thursday, and we will be meeting Friday on the bill. So we will notify you as soon as possible. Representative Shoffler.
Will it be during the day, or will we meet in the evening?
It is sounding like it will probably be an evening meeting.
Friday.
But
Friday would be during the
day. Friday is during the day.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
So
Thursday will possibly or probably be an evening meeting, but Friday will be our regular schedule.
All right. Thank you.
I'll see what I can do.